45 metres back. Bernard Foley's
got the legs.
It's got the legs. The distance.
Hey there, rugby fans. Mitch here, running solo this evening as both Ando and Lockie have other things going on in their busy lives. Now, this week we have a really exciting preview episode for the 2024 Super Rugby Women's competition that kicks off this coming weekend. Very shortly, Ando will be joined by current Wallaroo Waratah and host of the amazing Life of Chance podcast, Emily Chancellor, to preview everything Super Rugby Women's in 2024. Before we get to that preview, I thought we would quickly run you through our tips for this weekend's round of Super Rugby Pacific, seeing as we normally do that at this time of the week. Now, I only have myself and Lockie's tips so far for this upcoming round. Ando hasn't sent those through, but we will just quickly run through our tips for Round 4 of Super Rugby Pacific 2024. Now, the opening game of this round sees the Crusaders getting their first home game against the Hurricanes. Now, Lockie's gone for the Crusaders in this one by 5 points. I don't think I'm as optimistic there. I don't think the Crusaders have been in too much form this season so far, so I've tipped the Hurricanes in that one. Lockie sees this one going the Crusaders' way by 5 points. I've actually done fairly similar, but the opposite, the Hurricanes by 5 in that one. The second game on Friday night sees the Melbourne Rebels hosting the Queensland Reds down at Amy Park. Now, for those that are playing along at home, I am attending that game in person at Melbourne this weekend. So if you are there on Friday night, do keep an eye out for me and come up and say hi. I'd love to chat to people, fans of the podcast, and watch some rugby with you all. For this game, both Lockie and myself have tipped the Queensland Reds here. It's going to be a big ask to see if the Rebels can give the Reds their second loss of the season so far, and they've been in fine form, but the Queensland Reds have looked so good under Les Kiss this season that I can see them getting the victory here. Hopefully a tight game, a really exciting game for all of us fans that are going to show up and attend that in person. Now, the third game of Friday night sees the Western Force hosting Moana Pacifica. Now, both Lockie and myself have gone with Western Force, the home team in this one. Hopefully, we would love to see Western Force get their first win of the season, particularly against international opposition or a Kiwi opposition in Moana Pacifica. So, we've both gone that way. On Saturday afternoon, we have the Highlanders hosting the ACT Brumbies. This is the second Highlanders home game of the season. I've gone with the Highlanders in this game. Lockie's gone with his Australian heart, and he's gone with the Brumbies. So we're interesting to see how that sort of pans out. At the moment, it's a split of 78% of people going with the Highlanders. So hopefully the Brumbies can prove those people wrong and get the victory. And it'd be great to see another Australian side beating a Kiwi opposition. The second game of Saturday afternoon is the Chiefs hosting the Fijian and Drua at FMG Stadium in Waikato. Now, both Lockie and myself have tipped the Chiefs there. 96% of people have tipped the Chiefs. We saw how good Fiji were last week at home in Latoka against the Crusaders. If they can carry that form into this game, they're in with a chance, but it's going to be a really, really big opportunity to beat the Chiefs, who are coming off that loss against the Queensland Reds last week and definitely want to get their season and their winning ways back on track this week. The final game of the round does see the New South Wales Waratahs in their second home game of the season hosting the Auckland Blues. Now, both Lockie and myself have gone with an Australian flair in this one. We've tipped the Waratahs to get the W, but 88% of people have gone with the Blues. So if the Waratahs do manage to get up this week, it would be very much against the odds. Go the boys in blue, and that is the Waratahs for this coming weekend. Now, that are our tips for Round 4 of Super Rugby Pacific 2024. If you haven't done so already, make sure you get your tips in for this coming weekend. And very, very shortly, we have the interview coming up with Emily Chancellor and Ando previewing everything to do with Super Rugby Women's in 2024. Let's get into it.
Hello and welcome to Pick and Drive Rugby.
This is a pretty special midweek episode promoting the beginning of the Super Rugby Women's competition, which is going to be kicking off on Friday. I'm your host, Ando. I was meant to have Lockie, but he couldn't make it. But you know what? I've got someone infinitely better, and that is Waratah Wallaroo, and quite recently, a Pearls player from Japan, Emily Chancellor. Emily, how are you?
I am fabulous. Thanks, Ando. Thanks for having me on the pod.
Look, it is so good to have you here. But before we dive into the 2024 season, let's start with today. What has today looked like in the life of Emily Chancellor, Waratah, and professional rugby player?
Today is a rest day. So I had a sleep in. I had a Zoom with our dietitian just to touch base on a couple of things to keep me, you know, informed, I suppose, and get some free supplements, which is always important. What did I do? The coffee. I actually cleaned the garden today. I cleaned the whole barbecue, swept, got rid of all the cobwebs. I feel like I had a really productive afternoon, and I actually had a conversation about a job, which is good, going well.
That is incredibly exciting. I mean, it's meant to be a rest day, but it sounds like you almost did more work on your rest day than you would have on a training day. But from what I understand, that's often the case with our female rugby players, who often are juggling multiple requirements outside of rugby. But why don't we talk through some of your pretty recent and pretty exciting globe-trotting adventures? Because you've been away for a while. You obviously came back for the Pacific Four series and WXV1. But prior to that, you were in England with the Harlequins, yeah. And you've also had an opportunity to be over in Japan with the Mie Pearls. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mie Pearls.
Wonderful. So why don't you talk us through that, particularly the Pearls. How did you end up in Japan with Brianna Hoy?
It's such a good question. It kind of it fell in my lap. So Sydney Uni has just formed a partnership with the Mie Pearls. And at the time was talking to our coach who was at Sydney Uni organising, talking about opportunities. And I was in the same breath having conversations with teams in the UK about going back. And I just didn't, it wasn't sitting 100% right for me, the circumstances of going to England in terms of the challenge of coming back, not playing Super W test matches for 2024. And I'm a big believer that if things aren't supposed to be, that they just won't, and they shouldn't. And if it's meant to be, it will be. And when the Pearls opportunity came up, I had a conversation with the head coach, and I was like, this is just, it's perfect. It's I'd never considered Japan as somewhere to go and play, but the opportunity just worked out amazingly. And same sort of thing with Bree, slightly different path of getting there, but we both realised we were in conversations with the club at the same time. And, went over. I ended up playing lock. Anyone knows me in Australia, I am absolutely not tall enough to be a lock at all.
But in Japan, you are.
But in Japan, I am. And it was a really cool experience to learn how the intricacies of the scrum work from a little bit closer in. I don't think I will ever go to a country where I'll be considered a front row, but really great to get that knowledge and also just do something different, but also very similar role around the park when you're in a country that plays a really fast game of rugby. So the Pearls experience was unreal. It was a 3-month full-time contract. Pleased to say I've come home with savings, which is something unheard of as a female rugby player. So the people, the culture, the rugby were just refreshing and fantastic. So I had the best experience. And more importantly, now I'm back and in Australia ready to play this Super Rugby Women's competition for the Waratahs because I've missed playing for the Tahs last year.
Well, we've definitely missed you. And how's your Japanese coming along after that 3-month stint? You got anything you can show off for us?
Watashi wa Emily.
Yeah, very done.
really, really in depth. I really got a lot out of it. No, I'm still Duolingoing every day to keep a little bit of Japanese in the mix. We did Japanese lessons. We had translators. The girls were amazing with actually learning English whilst we were there so that they could talk to us more. So we were really lucky.
It really, following you on Instagram on the Life of Chance, it looked really as though you were just living up every moment and every opportunity. I mean, I know Instagram's obviously like a filtered reflection of a person's life and you don't see the tough moments as much as you see the kind of wonderful countryside, the smiles on a teammate's faces and the fun and the laughter that you were having, but it looked like it was a wonderful experience.
It truly was the best experience. I haven't felt so refreshed from a culture and a community. And truly like the presentation that I had out there in terms of social media was exactly how my life felt. Every day was a bit of a blessing and just sort of Bree and I so often were sitting there pinching ourselves being like, is this real? Is this actually what we're doing right now? We are in another country that has so embraced us in a team full of wonderful people and we're playing great rugby. We're getting fitter. It was awesome.
How good. How good. Well, on the back of that incredible experience, it does lead us into the Super Rugby Women's 2024 season. Now, as you mentioned, you weren't around for 2023 and for the Waratahs, which is, I mean, the club that I'm repping loud and proud within the video and the podcast. It was a disappointing season. It was the first time we hadn't made the grand final within any of the kind of Super W formats previously. And that would have been really hard to take, especially going down to the Drua again, who had defeated us or the Waratahs in 2022. So how's the team kind of reflecting on that experience and how are they going to be preventing the Drua from getting three in a row?
It's a good question. I think obviously it was a devastating season and a really disappointing way to end being knocked out in the semis last year for the team. But I guess it just reminds you that in a short season and an unforgiving semi-final structure, there's no opportunity for a slip up, and we're on a redemption year. You know, we're not going to have the same problem again. We're not taking any team for granted, and you know, I guess we start with the Brumbies this weekend, but every game we play, we're out to execute. We've got a strong team. I think you learn a lot from losses, and it's actually really important to not always just lose the grand final or be in the grand final. I think it's really important to go through development stages, and I wouldn't call last year a development year by any means, but I think it's really important to learn from losses and learn from taking things for granted and, you know, moving forward. We've got a new coach, we've got new girls, we've got great access to facilities, and we're really supported by the whole club. So it's feeling really positive at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying about last year not being a developmental year, and I agree with it. It did seem that there was a bit of a, not sure if changing of the guard is the right term, but just a bit of experience loss at some key positions. So yourself being overseas and having that opportunity and experience, Bella McKenzie was overseas as well. It just seemed that a couple of key positions, and with Piper Duck, injured for the vast majority of the season as well. It just showed perhaps that some more experience across the team was needed, or those opportunities for growth coming from those heavy losses will serve the team well in 2024. How have things been under the new coach, Mike Ruthven? Is that how I pronounce it?
I think it's Ruthven.
Ruthven. How have things been with him now in charge and having gone through a preseason now with the Tars?
It's been really exciting. I missed most of preseason because I was in Japan, but for the last month and a bit that I've been home for, it's been a really nicely oiled ship. Different voices is always important to have from a leadership perspective from the coaches, which changes sort of the tone, the way you're approaching training. We're doing a full day of training on a Wednesday now instead of just all evenings, which is really cool from a progression perspective. And it's not a compulsory day by any means, but most girls are really making the effort to get in to do the learning during the day. we still have the evening session so that girls can make it if they have work. But just that opportunity for more time together has been something that the group's been requesting, and it's been given to us. So definitely that idea of not taking things for granted, but just a different, we've got slightly different attacking structure, a little bit of a different sort of way of taking things on. So it's been really positive so far, and we do have a really strong group of girls. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you know, Bella McKenzie's back. Caitlin Leaney was also away last year.
Yep.
And has just returned from Harlequins. We've got Laurie Kramer's left us this year as well. She was with us at the TAS 2 years ago, was in England last year, and is now at the Reds.
Boo. Yep, boo. I mean, we love Laurie Kramer. She's an absolute legend, but boo that she's at the Reds.
Yeah. I mean, we've lost the likes of Grace Hamilton. She's gone to the Rebels this year. Mm-hmm. People like Ili Batavasanga have stepped away from the game, which is – and Margot Vella. Like, we've got girls that were key members of the team last year that have moved on to different things like coaching and playing other sports. But I feel like the squad is in a really strong position, and we're in a really cool place where we've got a nice balance of young girls who are getting their toes wet in the team and getting an opportunity to, well, they've had a good opportunity through trial games to play and put their best foot forward, and they're really competing in some strong positions. So I think Rivo is what we call our coach. I'm not 100% sure of his actual surname, apologies, but he's been really good at setting a standard and saying, like, no jersey will be sort of shared just for the sake of sharing, but giving girls a fair opportunity to put their best foot forward as well, as then obviously picking the best.
Without a doubt. And I've seen some of the kind of not generational turnover. It makes it sound like there's a whole bunch of old people and a whole bunch of really young people. So that's not what I'm saying. But sort of in a lot of the post-match interviews that happened after the Brumbies game down in Campbelltown, just the youth of some of the Waratahs players blew me away. And like, I'm 36. I don't think I'm that over the hill yet. But just looking at some of the kind of 18, 19-year-old players, just going, wow.
16, 17, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to assume, but I was guessing that they were younger as well.
Yeah.
It's so good to see kind of the next crop of quality, talented young players coming through and given the opportunity to shine. Whenever I throw this question out, people will often just kind of play it with a straight bat and just go, oh, the whole team is doing really, really well. Yeah, very excited. But are there any of the young players that you think we as fans should just be keeping an eye out on for glimpses of their development as the season progresses?
Yeah, there's a couple. Baba Wyaria Ellis is a really cool up-and-coming player. She's our youngest girl on the team, and she's just fearless. She's small in stature, but that is absolutely not a representation of how she plays. She's dabbling at 10 and fullback, I think, at the moment. So she's definitely one to watch. The kid, Caitlin Hulse, is definitely was on the radar last season and absolutely someone to be watching as she progresses and grows as fullback and 10 as well. She's not really a youth or an up-and-comer anymore, but I've been really impressed with Desi Miller through the preseason games. I think she's really put a sort of stamp on the game and is sending a message so far that she means business from an Australian jersey perspective. So it's really cool to see Desi really perform. And Millie Parker is a young hooker who's come from the Central Coast, and she's also doing a really great job to sort of put her mark on the team, first season in the program. And next to her is also Nancy Volkman, who's also been in the program. I think she was in the squad last year. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, getting her opportunities now also at hooker. So it's really great to see a couple of those young girls sort of stamping their marks in key positions.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, if you're keen, listeners, to get along and support our women, then they are going to be kicking off their season on Saturday at Allianz at 5:05 p.m. against the Brumbies. I'm going to be there with my two boys. It's going to be excellent. Cannot wait. Going to be an incredible competition. Although it does actually open the night before on Friday over in Perth with the Western Force facing the Rebels at HBF Park. And then you have the Reds versus the Drua on Sunday afternoon. Fantastic family-friendly time of 2:35 at Ballymore Stadium. So incredible rugby to watch at this point. Now, Em, we might actually do a bit of a transition here because, I mean, you're a pretty busy human being. And in amongst traveling overseas and doing whatever else you're doing outside of rugby and being a professional rugby player as well, you've also started up this pretty interesting venture known as the Life of Chance podcast. So for anybody who hasn't had the absolute pleasure of listening to it, and it is good, I can assure you, what is the Life of Chance podcast?
Thank you for that. Life of Chance podcast is kind of a little passion project that I started when I came back from the UK. I realized that I had a lot of spare time on my hands and wanted to do something constructive because it's an area that I'm quite interested in. I love hearing people's stories and sort of having that conversation around like who the person is, etc. And so I've sort of created the podcast with the premise of like, when have you taken a chance and it paid off, and when have other people taken a chance on you and why would they have done it? Just as a bit of a reflective piece, because I think we talk about chances as something that had no, you know, like you had no say in. And I think when you reflect on a lot of things that we were like, oh, it was by chance, ultimately it's from a lot of decisions or hard work that have led you to an opportunity. And when you take a chance, you're often, yes, you're taking a leap of faith, but you're also, it's usually a calculated opportunity that's come to your, you know, plate because you have done the work to get the opportunity. But yeah, so it's just been a really cool journey for me in terms of hosting and uploading and creating a podcast, and then also sharing content and being comfortable listening to your own voice. I've done 2 seasons and I'm just starting my 3rd season with a recording tomorrow. I'm doing my 3rd season is going to be on the Wallabies. So you're going to get insight into 6 different Wallabies and their journey through rugby and life.
That is incredibly exciting. I cannot wait, because I guess the part that I've really enjoyed about it is providing an insight more so into the person rather than the rugby player. Yeah. And having been doing this podcasting thing for a while, particularly the men, I actually find it less so when I chat with the women, but the men are a bit more guarded and yeah, maybe not as comfortable chatting. And I think they've had a bit more media training and they're scared to just have a chat. And I haven't found that to be the case, but what is so good about the Life of Chance is that that is not apparent. There's the walls are down far more than what you would normally come across within a player interview. And so it just provides this level of depth and insight. I loved the chat that you had with Horse, with Emily Horse Robinson.
Yeah.
Having had the opportunity to chat with her in a pod and meet her in person just at games once or twice, she seems like an absolute character. And I had the opportunity to learn so much more about her. So it must be really gratifying, maybe in a way, for you to be able to share these wonderful personalities of within an Australian rugby audience to a wider rugby audience.
Yeah, it's been a really cool, I suppose, journey for myself, because I didn't think originally when I started the podcast that I would be talking to my teammates and then the Wallabies. I thought my podcast was going to be more of like a, I don't know, like a challenge to myself to find people that I didn't know to interview. But then I realized as I was going that actually there are epic stories to be told within the Wallaroos particularly, mm-hmm. which was season 2 and did get the most traction for me from a viewership. So realizing that the stories that are there, people want to know more than just what you see on social media, and they actually want to get to know the people. And a big part of being a supporter is actually being a fan of the, like, getting to know the person. it's much easier to support something when you feel connected to it rather than just loving the game. Like, it's easy to love a game and then turn up, but you then want to know more about Arabella McKenzie or Eva Kapani and understand who they are, so that then when you watch them play rugby, you can sort of connect to them. So I guess the mission of my season two for the Wallaroos season was to showcase the great humans that they are off the field, to hopefully give people an insight into that character and then, want to know more. And I guess I think a similar stage is kind of there with the Wallabies, where we know a lot about them. They're a lot easier to Google, but we don't really know the person as much. And I'm not angling at it being a very current conversation like this podcast is, where it's results and, fixture-based conversation. I kind of am doing it like I don't want to talk about the World Cup. I don't want to talk about bad times unless they want to talk about it. I want to talk about the person and who what drives them to become a rugby player and then what they're going to do afterwards.
Well, it is a breath of fresh air in a, as you mentioned, quite a results-driven media landscape. And so hearing more about the players, both male and female, that we support and love watching is so good. So, Em, where would people be able to find the Life of Chance?
Life of Chance podcast is available on all your standard podcast platforms, but go to Spotify. That's the one that I think most people use, Spotify or podcast app. It's also on YouTube, but I don't advise, the video quality isn't amazing.
Yep. We've been through that pain as well, and it was really, I just enjoyed the first couple of episodes, just feeling the same challenge of learning mics and placement, and just having the moment of going, yeah, the audio could be better, but we're going to go for it anyway, and that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay. Yeah.
It's a cool learning experience.
It definitely is. You've got to make mistakes to learn from it, hey? Well, I think we might finish this off with just a really simple question. What have you learned from taking a chance in going to so many places within your rugby career? And is there any advice that you might have for others based upon those experiences?
What have I learned? I guess I've learned that the rugby community around the world is the same as the rugby community in Australia. And I think that's such a beautiful part, that you can form amazing relationships with players that you can't even speak the same language as, from a love of the game. I think that was probably the biggest learning from my recent experience in Japan and also from England, like knowing that you can walk into a completely new world and know almost no one else in the country, and form such a beautiful friendship and bond with these people is really special. The other thing I probably learned, or I guess why I took the chance, is because I really want to highlight that the women's game in rugby union has the ability to be a global game. We talk about it being a global game in the men's world, and up until probably the last 3 years, there hasn't been much of a global opportunity in the women's game unless you play for your country. And so I really wanted to sort of break down some of those walls and the stigma around the opportunity and show that Australians can compete in varying competitions, but also just that it is an option. Don't go to rugby league because they're offering you money. You could go to England and get offered money and come back and be a better rugby player. And so part of it was a mission to highlight that rugby is a global game for the women. Secondly, it was to experience the global game and challenge myself in a few different competitions and like from a life perspective, push myself out of a comfort zone. But also doing something that I love and I know that I can like focus my attention and effort in if it's not, so distracting being wanting to travel and explore the place that you're living. Does that sort of answer the question?
Yeah, it totally has. And it's provided such a great, I think the point that I just really valued from what you shared was the almost in a way trailblazing a path forward for other female rugby players moving forward. And so we've seen other players like Caitlin Weaney, like Arabella McKenzie, like Bree Hoy, have these opportunities to go over and just experience something else and to grow and to develop as individuals and as rugby players, and all the better for them. Absolutely yeah. Love it. And long may that continue. And may we even get more players coming to Australia as well to do the same thing in reverse.
Well, I really think, like, you know, to touch on that, sorry, I don't know if you're trying to wrap me up here, but...
No, not at all.
We've got, like, you know, Mac Leonard that did a stint over at Montpellier. Yep. You've got Grace Hamilton and Ash Masters, who both were at Montpellier as well over in France. You know, so this opportunity for this global game is really there. And then this year in Super Rugby Women's, we've got two girls from Japan playing in the Force. I heard a whisper mm-hmm. that there's another... Japanese player who's coming to the Brumbies. We've got an American in at the Reds. You've got an English girl at the Reds. Like there's really and there's quite a few. I don't know exactly. I'm not going to state facts or not facts. There's quite a few others that are dabbling from other countries as well. And I think it's a really cool opportunity to say that Super Rugby Women is a place for others to come for a shorter season, because mm-hmm. ultimately you could fit this into your Six Nations window. If you're over playing in the Prem, in the PWR over in England, there is an opportunity to come over and play. And I think it's something that we should be propositioning, obviously not at the detriment of selection for Australian players and growing our own homegrown talent, but it's a cool opportunity to come over this hemisphere and play some really great rugby as well. So I think it is definitely a growing opportunity for that global game. And we just have to see how it progresses, both girls in Australia and also girls going overseas.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it speaks into, I mean, the idea of overseas players coming in is if they're adding value, if they're adding experience and quality into our teams, what matters is that people are part of winning teams and a winning culture and a quality rugby culture. And so if they're adding to that position, then the Australian player that's second in line, well, they're going to be learning and growing from that experience regardless.
And competing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. So on that note, why don't we wrap things up? Em, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in a pod. Thank you so much for your time. And I cannot wait to be out there cheering you on Saturday night as you open the New South Wales Waratahs account against the Brumbies.
Thanks so much, Ando. And up the Tars.
Let's go the Tars. Thanks. Catch you later.
See ya.